So I want to start by asking you a question. What kind of relationship do you have with God as your Father? What is your relationship like with Him? Do you simply just believe in Him? Or are you 100% fully committed? Your answer to that question is going to determine what kind of relationship that you have with Him. John 3:16 says that, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but will have eternal life." So that is the believing part. That is the believing portion. And yes, it's important. And yes, we need to do it. That is how we're saved. That is how we have eternity with God. But we tend to leave out that Jesus says, if anyone desires to follow Me, to come after Me, He says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. That is the commitment. That is where the commitment comes in. So God is completely committed to us, but are we committed to Him? And I want to tell you before we get started and dig into a text that the Lord laid on my heart, that we can do nothing apart from Jesus. We can do nothing apart from Him. He tells us this, and He also tells us that no one could even come to Him unless the Father first draws that person to Himself. So don't think anything starts with you. It always starts with God pursuing your heart and seeking after you. And then it's our responsibility to respond to that pursuit. So, ladies, don't be deceived. We only seek after God and we only want to know Him more because He first loved us. That's why we love Him. So there was many people who followed Jesus when He was here. There were people who wanted to simply be healed. There were some people who just wanted to see miracles. They just wanted to see Him do something. And there was also religious leaders, and they actually wanted to catch Jesus in something. They hated Him, so they followed Him. And then you have people like David in the Old Testament who just, he writes things. He writes most of the Psalms, and he says, my heart, my soul, my flesh, they just cry out for the living God. And you have people like Joshua, who we are studying now. And Joshua, he wholly followed the Lord. He loved the Lord. And as Jen told us a minute ago, he was in the presence of God. And that's why he was successful in his life. And you're going to see as we continue to go through this study that the Lord does amazing things through Joshua's life. But he was wholly committed to God. So a follower, ladies, is somebody who is dedicated, somebody who is loyal, devoted, who is steadfast, and who is faithful. A person who is completely committed to God cannot be moved. Cannot be moved. So, Father, we just want to lift this time up to You now. And we just ask that Your Spirit just be ever so present in this place. We thank You for Your faithfulness to do that. Lord, thank You for Your word. And Father, I pray that if we are stuck in a place of simply believing, that we would press on to know what does that mean to be, to wholly follow You and to be committed to You. Teach us by the power of Your Spirit tonight. And I pray that the hearts in this room would respond and they would not leave here the same. We love You and lift this time up to You in Jesus' name. Amen. So ladies, we're going to go ahead and open up your Bibles. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9. So we want more in our relationship with Jesus, but are we willing to do what it takes to get there? So I titled this message, Holy Follow God, Develop Your Disciplines. Instead of Holy Following God, change it to Holy Follow God. Because I just believe that there are many of us in this room who aren't following yet. So hopefully this will be a call of action, and the Lord will teach us some things. I know that He will. It's just us responding. So I'm going to read to you, ladies, starting in Luke chapter 9, verses 22 through about 25. This is Jesus talking. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised on the third day. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? So overall, ladies, in that text that we read, Jesus is telling us that we need to basically die in order to live. And don't miss verse 22 that he says what's going to happen to him. He says that he's going to suffer, and he says what is going to happen to his life. And the very next thing that he says is in verse 23 and where we want to focus. We're going to just break apart this verse. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So the first point that we're going to look at is a daily surrender. If anyone desires. The New Living Translation says, if any of you wants to be my follower. Surrender, ladies, is the act of giving the control over to the power of another. And surrender is always going to start with our desire. Desire is a strong feeling of wanting to have something or wishing for something to happen. So I kind of put those together, and it's a strong feeling of wanting someone to control all aspects of your life. Does Jesus have that in your life? This means your finances, your relationships, your meetings at work, your going out, your coming in. Does he have that kind of access to your life? A relationship with Jesus is all-inclusive, ladies. We cannot say to him, you can be part of this, Lord, but not this other stuff, because I want to come over here and do this, and I know you don't approve, so, you know, we come over here and do whatever we want. That is not the kind of life that the Lord wants us to live. He wants us to get to a place where we can surrender and say, not my will, but your will be done. He wants to get us to that place. So we need to learn how to surrender our will. And has anybody ever noticed that our own will most times causes us to sin? Anybody notice that? We want when we want, what we want, when we want it. And if we don't get it quick enough, we're going to do whatever we need to do in order to get the desired results that we want. And that is foolish, ladies. That is not your will, God, but mine be done, because I know what's best. That's what we're doing. That's what we're saying to God. So the exact opposite is what we see in the life of Jesus. He learned to say, not my will, but yours be done. So our will and our sins are linked together. And James 1:14 tells us that each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And then when desire is conceived, ladies, it gives birth to sin, and sin will give birth to death. Hebrews 12:1 encourages us that since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. That's what we're encouraged to do. So if we don't desire, if we don't want to surrender, we're going to remain ensnared in these sins, in these things that keep taking over us. And I am telling you the truth. If we keep on doing this, you're going to miss out on a life of the greatest intimacy, the deepest intimacy that you could ever know, because of the choices that you're making. And this life, you guys, is not pleasing to the Lord. It's a life that is inconsistent. It is a very miserable life. You're kind of in the middle. You're lukewarm. And Jesus says, be hot or cold. He's going to vomit out a person who is lukewarm, or his words. It is unpleasing to the Lord. It's not satisfying to the Lord. And it's not satisfying to you either, if you admit it. It might be for a short time, but it's not satisfying. So, and I just want to say that sometimes this can be difficult to learn how to surrender over our will. But I promise you, ladies, that as you do it, choice by choice, day to day, that God is so faithful. He is so faithful, and he is going to help you with these choices that you're making. And what ends up happening is you start growing in him, you start changing. So when you step away from him again and go to these other places that are your will, it rips your heart apart, because you don't desire to live that way anymore. So he starts changing your heart. So we have to decide what we want to do. Everybody in here has to make a decision. And I want to say, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ today, if you have not, I mentioned John 3:16 a while ago. If you have not yet made that decision to surrender your life and give your life to him, that is where your place of surrender starts. And I encourage you to do that tonight before you leave with one of the leaders here, the ladies with lanyards that Tracy mentioned, our prayer ladies that were mentioned. Do that before you leave. That's where your place of surrender is going to start. Okay, so we need to learn to be disciplined in prayer, ladies. If you look back in Luke chapter 9, where we are in verse 18, it says that Jesus was alone and he was praying. So how did he know God's will? How was he able to speak a few sentences later and say, this is what's going to happen to me? It's because he spent that alone time with the Father and he learned God's will. So you want to know God's heart and you want to know God's will, you need to spend diligent time in prayer. So surrender, ladies, is an act of the will. It's choosing to be who we no longer, choosing not to be who we once were. And it's choosing to say no to sin. And it's also daily obedience. Surrender is daily obedience. And obedience is not popular, ladies, at all. Some people are not going to like you for the choices that you make to be obedient to God. But you know what? So be it. Seriously, obedience is greater than anything. And God is going to use your obedience to transform you from the inside out. So again, it's one choice at a time, but you have to want to. If you don't desire this kind of surrender, then I am telling you the truth. You will never, ever learn to completely follow the Lord. So, and just think about it, ladies, before we knew the Lord, we did what we wanted to do with our bodies, right? We used them for lustful pleasures, for sin, just whatever. And now that we are saved and in Christ, what we need to be doing is living our bodies, using our bodies for the glory of the Lord. The Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit and he is indwelling within us and that it is a privilege to glorify God in and through our bodies. The world is going to encourage you to follow your heart, ladies. And I just want to tell you that the Lord would say that your heart is desperately wicked and it is deceitful. And he says that I, the Lord, know it. I, the Lord, am the only one who knows your heart. So be careful. Be careful with listening to that kind of advice and to just going about with the way that you feel. The way that you feel is not necessarily God's will for you and what you need to be surrendering to. That's super important that you understand that. So you're going to have to choose. We all have to choose what world we want to follow. Is it going to be the world, just everything we've known? Partying, drinking, doing whatever we want for self, 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 right? Or is it going to be a world with Jesus and following hard after him? And both of these are going to require surrender. The world requires things from you too. So think about that. As we surrender our desires start lining up with God's desires, ladies, and we're able to get to a place where we can say, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. We're able to get there. So that's a daily surrender. And we want to look at that we are designed for sacrifice. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So to deny yourself is a form of sacrifice. And sacrifice is defined as the act of giving up something that you want to keep. It's an act of worship, and it's an act of killing a person or an animal in a religious ceremony to please a god. So sacrifice is going to cost you something. If you want to truly, truly follow Jesus, you have to count the cost. And in the Old Testament, the sacrifices, they ended up dead. Ladies, there were priests and all the people, they had to bring animals as a form of sacrifice. And this was to show their commitment to God. It was an act of worship, and it was how they would be cleansed of their sins. But this never, ever worked. It never took the guilt away from the people. That did not happen until Jesus came and became that living sacrifice who gave himself for all of us, so that this wouldn't have to be done anymore. He was the very last one who would have to, who would shed blood for us, making the choice to do so that we might live. And I just want you to picture for a moment that, think about how grotesque that must have been. I don't know how many of you like to see blood and smell blood, but there was a whole lot of it going on. To smell it, to see it. Read Leviticus chapter 9 if you get the opportunity, because it tells you a lot of details in there on what this looked like. So we don't owe animals and we don't owe any blood anymore, ladies, but we still do owe a sacrifice. And the sacrifice that God wants is worship. Worship that pleases him is a sacrifice. Romans 12:1 tells us, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The Message translation of this says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. So Jesus, the perfect, spotless lamb, he surrendered and he gave up his will and he sacrificed literally his body for you and for me. That is the ultimate form of worship. That is the ultimate form of worship. And to present, ladies, to present our bodies, that's again a commitment. It's a choice that you have to make. And why would you make this choice? First of all, ladies, the end of that verse says, which is your reasonable service. And that means that's the least you can do for all that he has done for you. Every single person in here that is a believer in Jesus tonight, you have a story, you have a testimony, and you have something that God has done in your life and how he took you from the darkness and brought you into the light. That is more than enough reason that you would get up in the morning and lay yourself down as this sacrifice. And the second reason that you would commit to present your body like this is because it's an act of worship. Worship is not just, you know, lifting our hands in praise and singing songs to God. God wants our whole heart, ladies, our mind, our soul, everything about us. He wants us to get to that place where we love him as he loves us. Some of you, I don't have time to get into my entire testimony, and some of you know it, but I just want to mention to you that I am divorced, been divorced for about 11 and a half years now. Two wonderful children, one of my daughters older, and she's off married now. And then my son, our son who's 14 now. And it's, you know, I love my family. I love them. I adore them. I have been praying for restoration of my family for many of these years. And ladies, I was walking the other day, just taking a walk, and I believe that this question was from the Holy Spirit, that are you willing to sacrifice and lay down your family for me? And I'm telling you, it brought me to tears, literally. I mean, I think about them constantly. I love them. I'm like, okay, Lord, am I not doing that? And I went home and I was just praying, and I have a picture of the four of us, and I'm looking at it and I'm praying over it, and I'm like, okay, Lord, okay. So I set it off to the side. I'm kind of visual like that. I set it off to the side. Okay, Lord, I'm going to lay this down. But you know what? Hear me, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love me. That doesn't mean that God doesn't love my family and that he's not going to do amazing things in and through our lives. That's not what that means at all. But what that does mean is that even if God didn't, I am okay because I have him. Amen? That's where God wants us to get, ladies. If we cannot give up these things or people, perhaps, for Jesus, if we can't lay them down and sacrifice these things, then we cannot fully follow Christ. We can't, because we're holding on too tightly. And sometimes what I've learned is these treasures in our life, we want to hold on to them because we're afraid of their safety. But I'm telling you, in the hands of Jesus, at the feet of Jesus, is the best and the safest place that they can be. And I think some of us in here are not willing to sacrifice certain things or people. And some of you in here, I just believe, are in relationships that are not good for you. People that are not your spouse. Maybe you are even having sex with somebody right now. Maybe it hasn't gotten to that point yet, but maybe they are telling you just things that you think are awesome about your body or your appearance. You need to stop it and you need to lay it down. I've been where you are, and it is not satisfying and it is not pleasing to the Lord, and you're going to end up so discouraged and disgusted and disappointed. You need to stop it. God has more for you. God loves you too much to let you live a life like that. And some of you in here could be dealing with different addictions. And I don't know what they are, but you know what? I just believe that you don't want to lay these things down because it's too hard. And because you've tried, and you've tried again, and you have failed. God will help you with the choices that you make. And some of you, there's bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart. And that's hurting you. Other people are moving on with their lives. It's hurting you and is hindering your relationship with God. You need to learn to humble yourself and lay these things down so you can move on to truly follow Christ. There's a story of a rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10. And he comes to Jesus and he says, "Teacher, tell me what I need to do to inherit eternal life." And Jesus starts telling him, you know, don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal. And he goes on and the guy says, well, I've been doing all these things since youth. And it says that Jesus looked at him and he loved him. And he said, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor. And then you will have great treasure in heaven. And he says, and then come and take up your cross and follow me. You know what the Bible says is that this guy went away sorrowful because he had great treasure here on earth. That's the treasure he wanted. Is that the treasure that you want, what you have here on this earth? We need to instead be like Peter and his friends. In Luke chapter 5, there's another story of that they're out fishing. They're fishing all night. They catch nothing. And then they're there cleaning their net. And Jesus says to go and throw your net out in the deep. And they do it at his word. They do that. And the net is getting so full that it begins to break. They even call their partners over with another boat. Bring the other boat over. So now there's two boats. And the Bible says that both boats begin to sink. That's how many fish that there were. Just at the word of the Lord. That's how many fish there were. But listen to verse 11. So when they brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook all, ladies, all of that fish. These people had families. This was their livelihood. This was their currency. This is how they made a living. They were fishermen. They gave it all up to follow Jesus. These guys learned how to live a life of sacrifice. So we need not fear, ladies, that in seeking God and denying ourselves, that it's just going to narrow our lives so much and restrict the desires that are in our hearts. Because the exact opposite is actually true. This is going to open up doors for you that you never, ever knew were possible. That's what's going to happen as you learn to sacrifice. So we talk about daily surrender, that we were designed for sacrifice. And let's talk about the duty of suffering. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So I don't think I have to define for many of you what suffering is, because we've all been there. We've experienced pain, illness, loss. Every single one of us has suffered in this room. And dare I say that part of following Jesus is suffering. That's part of it. To carry our cross daily, ladies, is to identify with Jesus in his shame and his suffering and his death and his resurrection. That's what it means to pick up your cross and carry it daily. Paul the Apostle says in Philippians 3 that he desired to know the fellowship of his sufferings. And are you willing to do that? Are you willing to suffer and identify with Jesus? And I just want to encourage you to really think about the answer to that before you just say yes. Think about that. So often we just blurt out a yes and we don't really mean that. For Philippians 1:29, for it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. So ladies, the Bible is saying that suffering is a gift. If I grant you something, if I give you something, that is a gift. And I want to be very clear that I'm not speaking about the kind of suffering that we bring about ourselves. If you jot down 1 Peter chapter 4, it will tell you the right and the wrong way to suffer. Because Peter says that we should no longer live like we used to live, in filthiness and drunkenness and drunken parties and worshiping idols. Suffering for God, God is glorified through it. It's not for our foolish choices. So I was asking the Lord as I was preparing for this, what does it mean to wholly follow you? I don't know about you ladies, but sometimes I think that I know something and, oh, I know that topic. Or yeah, I know that scripture. But the Lord is showing me, do you? You know? And just showing me different things. And I told you a minute ago that I am divorced and we share our son. He's in two, you know, back and forth in two different homes. And he was with me for a prolonged period of time during the summer. And when he goes back to be with his dad, it's so super hard. And I was in my room and I'm like, Lord, this is not what you intend. A mother to be without her child. This is not your intention. I hate this, Lord. Help me with this. Please, begging the Lord. And again, I just believe that this was the Holy Spirit just speaking to my heart that this is what it means to wholly follow me. Suffering and pain, ladies, is part of it. And there's so much goodness in it. And I'm going to tell you five things that I wrote down here in just a minute. But let me just tell you that sometimes we suffer, ladies, simply because that we are human. And we're getting older. Our bodies don't work as well. We start losing our vision pretty soon. So watch out, young people. It starts happening quickly. So we're human, so we suffer with the natural things of life. Sometimes we suffer because we are foolish and we are disobedient to the Lord. And if you read in Hebrews 12, it says that God loves us, so he therefore chastens us. So we call it suffering, but it's really discipline. It's consequences for our choices. And then the third thing is that, you know, or the third thing that I wrote down is that we suffer because it's a mystery, right? God allows suffering in our lives, but he allows it for good. And we can look back even on the book of Job and see Job's life and see everything that he lost and the way that he suffered. But you know what? Job got to know God during that point like he had never known him before. And he actually says, I had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Job didn't know the end of his story and he didn't know what would happen. Just like you guys don't know the end of your story. I don't know the end of my story and I don't know what will happen. But Job would testify that he knows the goodness of God and he was able to get closer to the Lord during this time. So I'm going to give you five things quickly on God's goodness and suffering. So the first thing is we identify with Christ, ladies. We become more like him. We are refined in the fire of affliction. The second thing is that God is glorified. This is an opportunity for God to be glorified in the way that you handle your suffering. The third thing, it's a tool that God uses to build godly character. And you can read more about that in Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. And it grows our trust and dependence on him. And the fifth thing is it keeps us from sinning and becoming proud, ladies. Paul the Apostle says in 2 Corinthians 12:7, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me, to keep me from becoming proud. So pride is sin, and God knew what Paul needed, and he knows what you need too. But don't stop reading there. If you go and read on, look what you're promised in suffering. The first thing you're promised is increased grace. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away, and each time he said, my grace is all you need. So what is grace? Grace is God fulfilling your needs when you need it. GRACE, an acronym that some of you might know, is God's riches available at Christ's expense. He paid the debt for you, and now you are rich in him because of what he did for you. Grace is Jesus. It's God's love for you. And there's never a shortage of grace. It is unlimited for your every material, physical, and spiritual need. Grace never runs out. He gives us grace so that the affliction works for us rather than against us. And the second thing is that that we are promised when going through suffering, ladies, is that we're going to become stronger. God says, my power works best in weakness. And this is Paul testifying to that. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and hardships, persecutions and trouble that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So he learned that the thorn was a gift. So if we accept the afflictions as a gift, then it's possible for this grace to work in our lives. And the third thing that we are promised in suffering is that we can learn obedience. Hebrews 5:8 says that even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things in which he suffered. Even Jesus learned obedience, ladies. And these are promises of God. These are things that you can claim. These are things that you can pray over. So are you suffering right now? James 5:13 says, are any of you suffering? Let him pray. We can also meditate on the word of God. I would encourage you to get in the word of God, to put on your praise and worship music, and your circumstances may remain the same for a time, but I promise you that God will encourage you and he will change your mind. He will give you a new perspective. Lenya said last week that what you think impacts how you feel, and how you feel impacts your face, your faith, not face. Yeah. So allow grace to work in and through you to help you rise above circumstances and feelings and to strengthen you. There's a quote that I read in my commentary. Somebody wrote this to one of their friends and it says, if you knew what power there was in accepted sorrow. So Paul knew this power because he was in the will of God and he was allowing the grace of God to work in his life. And that same power is available to each of you in here today. So we talk about daily surrender, that we were designed for sacrifice, that there's a duty of suffering in our lives to truly follow the Lord. And the last thing we're going to talk about is delightful serenity. So serenity, ladies, is pure bliss. It is calmness. It is satisfaction. It is just this delightfulness. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So what do you gain from following Jesus? Ladies, you gain Jesus himself. Jesus himself. You gain joy. You gain peace. You gain the power of the Holy Spirit who will guide you, who will lead you, who will teach you, who will comfort you. You gain his protection. You get to be called a friend of God, a child of God. You learn to hear his voice and discern his voice. When he is speaking to you, you have this protective covering that is all around you that you gain. And it's amazing that as we choose to surrender and live a life of just hands wide open, okay, Lord, not my will. As we choose to live that way and we choose to sacrifice and lay our bodies down, and as we choose to accept suffering and say, okay, and we choose to look at it from a different perspective and do the things that God tells us to do in suffering, it is absolutely amazing to me that God tells us there are some things following us too. And Psalm 23:6 says that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. So you're following Jesus and he has some things following you. And I told you I'm visual, so I'm going to come down real quick and I need like 10 volunteers really fast. Come on, 10 of you. I want to show you guys something. Come on, Felicia. All right. Thanks, girls. Okay. All right. So, Felicia. Hi, sweetie. Stand over here for a second. Okay. So, stand right here and face that way. Felicia's going to represent Jesus for me, okay? Okay. And come over here, Chels. And Brittany. So, you are going to represent goodness and mercy, okay? Just stand side by side. All right, the rest of you girls, come over here. Come here, Tracy. Give me a couple more girls. Terry. So over here on this side. Quickly, quickly. And no talking in this circle, girls. Okay. So we have Jesus, who is here. I'm following Jesus. And I've got goodness and mercy following me. Okay? Goodness and mercy following me. And this is the very character of God. So you have Jesus before you. You have Jesus behind you. And I told you in Hebrews 12 that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, it says. And if you want to know who these witnesses are, and these are my witnesses, they're around me. They're surrounding me on every side. You can read in Hebrews 11 and learn about who these people are, because they are men and women of God who learned God's faithfulness and learned about who he was, and they saw what he did in their lives. So you can be protected. Come here a little bit, sweetie. Yeah, stay right here. So I got Jesus here. I got goodness and mercy. I'm surrounded by this cloud of witnesses. So I am protected. I am covered. This is the kind of life that God wants us to live. So everybody just stay here. So here's what we do. Okay, Jesus is not answering my prayers. He's not answering me quick enough. He's not doing anything in my life. So you know what? I'm done with him for right now. I don't even know if he's real. I don't know if I believe in this stuff. And ladies, let me just tell you something right now as I'm saying that, is that you need to stop treating God. We need to stop treating God as if he is our servant and we are just out here to command him what he needs to be doing in our lives. Are we serious? This is God. This is the creator of the universe, of heaven and earth. And you were trying to tell him what you need him to do. And if he doesn't do it, you're going to move out here? Are you kidding me? Ladies, and then, okay, so we're out here. We still believe. Remember, we're either believe or we're fully committed. I still believe out here. Yeah. But now I am open to, I'm so vulnerable right here. I have the enemy attacking me. I have lies that I am believing over and over again. I'm not covered by Jesus. I'm not covered by all these witnesses, these people around me. We need to learn to get back in here and to stay in here and to follow hard after Jesus. And as we do that, you guys, he is so faithful. There is no reason that any of us should dare leave this place. Amen. Thanks, ladies. So are you fully committed to Jesus? And I have to just say that coming to Bible study only does not make you a follower of Jesus. Coming to church only does not make you a follower of Jesus. Fellowshipping with your friends only does not make you a follower of Jesus. Don't be deceived, ladies. Those things are good, and I encourage you to keep doing them. But following Jesus is about the daily choices that you make every single day. Every single day. We cannot truly love others, ladies. We can't get out there and impact lives if we are not a true follower of Jesus. And I have been talking about us a lot and what we need to do and how we need to get on track and get serious already. But you know what? It's not about us. It is not about us. Our lives are about the glory of God, and our lives are about other people. We were saved and we were left here so that we can impact this world, so we can be the salt and the light of the earth, and so that we can pour into other people. Jesus promises, ladies, this is a promise, that narrow and difficult is the way, and only few find it. So are you going to be among the few? Are you going to change your life so that you don't leave this place? It will be hard. It will be difficult, but you can do it with his help. So I have failed, ladies. I have failed at surrender. And I have failed at sacrifice, laying myself down. And I have failed at suffering. And I have gone on many times to do whatever it is that I wanted to do and had to suffer the consequences for it. And I want to encourage you to, if that's you tonight, that God redeems our failures. He redeems our failures. He loves you and he is for you. And Jesus says that if you love me, you will keep my commands. Luke 9:23 is a command of Jesus. So do you love him? Do you really love him? And this is not a message of condemnation, ladies. It's a call. It is a call that we get serious and that we truly, truly follow him and stop messing around. I started out by asking you a question. What kind of relationship do you have with God as your Father? And I want to close by asking you, what kind of relationship do you want to have? The choice is yours and the choice is mine. You have to make a decision. And again, if the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight, remember that he is the one first pursuing you. And now you have the choice that you need to make if you're going to yield over to him and trust him. We need to learn to leave ourselves, ladies, our self-life already. And reckon it crucified, done with. The Lord loves you. He loves you and he wants you to trust him. He has only good in store for you.